Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC at 50. And you're listening to WGMC at 50, and today I have the honor of talking to a gentleman who, has been here, was here about 19 years ago already, Jason Crane. Jason, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today.
It's my pleasure, Rob. I can't believe it's been 19 years because I'm only 24 years old.
That's right. You and I both. Actually, I was 24 when I started here 19 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, I'm so happy that we had the opportunity to catch up and talk about your time here at the station. So you are the former GM and you had some other titles along the way here. What was that?
Yeah, so I started in 2001 as the development director and the afternoon drive host. And then quickly, our station manager at the time got a different gig. And so for a little while, there was nobody. And then I stepped into that role of being the station manager and the afternoon drive.
So way back when you first got involved with the radio station, what brought you here? How did you become aware of at the time, I think you guys were still going by WGMC. How did you become aware of the station? How did you originally get involved?
That is an excellent question to which I may not be able to provide an answer. I was working at WXXI. So I came to Rochester to be a union organizer. Then I, after several years, I stopped doing that. I got a job at XXI. And while I was there, I think I started listening to WGMC. I'm sure somebody just told me, you should, since you're a jazz head, you should listen to this radio station. And I guess right around that time, they must have started advertising for this position. And I thought, well, there just aren't that many jazz stations. I had worked at one in Tucson. It seemed like it might be a good fit. So I came over. I honestly can't remember how it initially happened.
Right.
But I was very happy to discover it. And, at that time we were in the old studios. It was a much smaller operation. And I just very quickly felt at home there.
So when you got here and you got to work first as the development director, then stepped into the GM role and that type of thing, you got yourself involved in kind of a pretty significant project which had started before you, but that you were to carry to the finish line. And that is our power increase from 2,050 watts or whatever it was up to 15,000 watts. Talk about that experience and talk about everything you went through at that time to make that happen with quite a deadline looming too.
Yeah, it was amazing. We, in 1 year, for example, we raised double our normal annual budget thanks to the incredible generosity of the members who are still being generous to this day. And we had the support of the school district, particularly the superintendent at the time, who was a real key player in helping us kind of figure out how to get over that deadline. And we also had a lot of local media support, which was really great. We talked to the community and people helped us amplify those voices, particularly a city newspaper at the time. And I think Ron Netsky was the name of the writer.
I'm
casting my mind way back here. But and so the kind of the coalescing of the community around this station, not just as a jazz station, but I think as an example of a real community entity that people wanted to keep around, was really, really beautiful. I think the volunteers at the time who we had on the station were very energized, and the few paid staff, of course. And then we had a lot of help from both local and not local musicians, folks who came and helped us pitch during those campaigns, folks who recorded on-air spots for us, folks who played concerts for us, which we had national and local artists at. It was just an incredibly inspiring time to be at what by that time was starting to transition into Jazz 90.1. Right. I just remember it as one of the highlights of my life, and especially that that first time we powered up and we had people around for that party. It was a really magical experience.
What was very interesting is a lot of people don't know this kind of behind the scenes stuff, but it really came down to an 11th hour push of where you guys were up against a pretty significant deadline to make something happen for this to go. I don't know if you remember those last minute things that happened, but the fundraising piece of it was huge because that went on for how many years did people work to do that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, as you said, it predated me. But I think once we kind of had an administration in place who were pretty pro the project and were looking ahead to what and what obviously has happened under your leadership, but what the station could become, particularly with its integration into the district, which obviously you've done much more than I ever did. I think once those pieces were in place and we'd kind of had this team building experience of there kind of briefly being no person running the station. And so everybody had kind of stepped in. And I think the combination of those two factors, the fact that the place really kind of coalesced into a team and we had people in, you know, kind of positions of authority who were really, really supportive of this endeavor. You know, we certainly, I don't want to get too into the weeds on it, but we certainly got some assistance from the district, you know, in terms of figuring out our finances and that kind of thing. And it was really, really helpful. And yeah, it was very 11th hour. I mean, we were right up against it. And I just remember, I mean, there were definitely some tears, you know, as we got towards the end and some moments during fundraising drives when, I don't know, when it felt like we were waging a campaign that was much larger than just for us, you know, community jazz station in Greece, New York. I mean, it just felt like part of some massive endeavor that we were all engaged in together.
We're talking with Jason Crane, former station manager here at Jazz 90.1. And one of the things, Jason, that you did way back when, right around this time, was kind of redo the focus and the motto of what Jazz 90.1 really was. And that's where the Take Jazz Further kind of came into the picture of where you were focusing a lot more on new and emerging artists that were coming out. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'll be totally honest with you that I don't know if I would do it the same way again. I've thought about this a lot since then. The Take Jazz Further and the Jazz 90.1 rebranding, Chuck Ingersoll was a massive help in all of that, being a branding genius as he is. And so we worked with the agency that Chuck was working with, and that part of it was very, very exciting. And at the time, yeah, we were really focused on new music, on jazz, not just as a museum piece, but jazz as a living, breathing art form. Right. And as some listeners will know, ever since I left Jazz 90.1, I've hosted a show called The Jazz Session, which has been running for 17 of the 19 years, the first jazz interview podcast. And, you know, that's still very much about that. So at the time, we were really, really focused on new music. And when I say I don't know if I'd do it the same way again, I think back then, and I was quite young and I'd never run a radio station before, I think back then I was focused on the new music, maybe a little bit to the exclusion of some of the classics. And I think if I had stayed even a little bit longer, I would have found a better way to rebalance that. But to speak of it positively, which I still do largely think of it as, I think what that did was it really connected us with the music scene, because Rochester has such a vibrant music scene and so many people came here. It was right around the time the Jazz Fest was starting. That I think it really positioned us to be a very active station in terms of interviews, in terms of live performances and those kinds of things, which if we had just focused on playing music by people who had mostly passed on, we would not have been in a position to do. Right. So I am very happy about that piece of it. And I think it made us a very vibrant station at the time.
Now, taking a look back to the time that you did leave and when I came in, your plans at the time were to continue on with education and kind of go in a different direction. But here we are now talking to you and you are still in radio. So the bug must have bitten you and bit hard because you're still in the biz. What's kept you around this media for so long and keep bringing you back?
Yeah, when I left, by the way, it is amazing that the guy after me was you, and you're still the guy. I've said so many times to people, you know, who knew me back then, I was like, do you guys know, right, that the guy who replaced me at Jazz 90.1, he's still the guy. Like, that's still the same dude. I'm so impressed with what you've done. I just want to make sure I get that in, because you've had such an impressive run. But anyway, yeah, so I left Jazz 90.1. I became a stay-at-home dad for a year, and then I went back into the labor movement. But then I have been back in and out of radio at various times. Currently, I'm the program director of a AAA station, like an indie rock and pop station in Charlottesville, Virginia. I've worked, I ran another AAA station in Pennsylvania. I worked in kind of a, like an oldies classic format in Tucson, Arizona. I did news radio in Albany, New York, all kinds of things. So I've kind of come back in and out of the radio part of media. I've been podcasting almost continuously since I left Jazz 90.1, and really, really love that too. I just love, and this is always what I loved about Jazz 90.1 too, I love the fact that I get to sit in front of, or stand more accurately, in front of a microphone and talk to other human beings and build a connection. That to me is what's magical about radio. It's hard to get paid to do only that nowadays. And so I do these other things too. You know, I have a background part of the job, or behind the scenes part of the job. But for me, the magic of radio, and this is nowhere more true than at a station like Jazz 90.1, is that we are building real bonds with the people who live in the places we broadcast. And I work in commercial radio right now. So actually, I do have some ways when people call in, or when I get messages or things from people, to see that feedback. You know, but at a station like Jazz 90.1, I mean, its literal existence depends on building those bonds, because it's people who fund it. And so we would get a very real report card all the time on whether people felt included, whether people felt like it was something they wanted to continue to support. And I always thought that was incredibly, incredibly magical, even more so for a community station. I mean, Jazz 90.1 is such a rare gem, because it's not part of some massive, you know, public funding network. It's just its own thing that's been doing it, you know, for 50 years, which is incredible. So yeah, I still love radio because of making those connections. And I think you work at one of the best possible places to do that.
Well, you know, taking a look back, can you believe this place is going to be 50? Is that hard for you to believe, having seen it through some of its most difficult times?
Yeah, I also turned 50 about a month ago, as we're speaking on September 10th, and I find that hard to believe. so yeah, I think it's amazing. I remember I was at Jazz 90.1 when it turned 30, I remember speaking with Derek Lucas at the time, who had, you know, heard a lot of that 30 years, and just talking with him about like what an incredible achievement that was, especially again, for a station that it only exists because of the community. I mean, I really hope, I'm sure they do at this point, but I really hope that everybody who hears us talking whenever they do understands that is truer at Jazz 90.1 than at almost any radio station I can think of. There just aren't many community stations anymore. And because it is a very hard business model. It is not, like, if you were going to start a radio station, you wouldn't think, well, what if we just made all our funding dependent on the people who listen to the station with no other help? And the fact that it still is here 50 years later just proves what a success story that has been.
So looking back, do you miss it?
Oh my God. I'll tell you right now, one of the great regrets of my life is that I left. The main reason that I left was because while the Capitol campaign was going on, I also ran for city council and our first child was born.
Yeah.
And by the time the Capitol campaign, I lost the city council race. Our first child is now 6'4" tall.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So is our second child. I still have a photo holding Bernie up to the microphone in the old Jazz 90.1 studio when he's about an inch long. But when those three things, I lost the city council race, I became a dad, and the Capitol campaign ended, I was just toast.
Shot.
Like, yep. There was no more me left, and I needed to not do something.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, right, especially because the person who replaced me is the person I'm talking to 20 years later, I have thought so many times, man, if I could have just taken like 6 months off,
right,
I never would have left that place.
Right.
Because it is truly one of the great radio stations ever. And I loved the people who worked there. I think, you know, I certainly was not, I was not always doing things as well as I could have done them. I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. But I really would have loved to have the opportunity to get more seasoned and to spend more time like really figuring out how to perfect things. And obviously, I passed on and you came in and great things have happened. So I'm sure it's the best thing for the station. But for me personally, although I try not to live with a lot of regrets, I do often think it would have been really cool to have a longer run at Jet 91 because it's such a special place.
Well, it's interesting. I think about you often too, because you and I are part of a very small and unique group of people who really truly know what it's like to be in the trenches with you know, running a community radio station like this one. And,
yes.
You know, I spoke with Eric Gruner a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, he was in the GM role before you. And it's just kind of all this little motley crew here that understands exactly what goes into making this place tick. And I don't think a lot of listeners necessarily know kind of the quote unquote bad times financially the station went through, how difficult it was to get that tower project off the ground. And, you know, we're in the middle of our pledge drive now and we're, you know, constantly talking to folks about, you know, we're here because of you. And having that, as you mentioned, that listener connection, nobody would go out and choose to do that as a new business model. But for us, it's kept us here for five decades.
Yeah, it's as I say, it's such a special place for any listener who's hearing my voice and hasn't yet made the switch to become a member. I mean, you can move to almost any other community in the United States and you will not find even a station whose general business model is like Jazz 90.1, let alone whose commitment to our particular kind of music is like Jazz 90.1. It is truly a unique entity in the world of jazz broadcasting. And I'm so proud of the small role I played back in the day. I'm so glad that Eric was a part of this too, because obviously he was instrumental in pushing the station forward. And then, you know, even as much as you and I and Eric and whoever else should, you know, get some sort of pat on the back, who really gets a pat on the back are the volunteers.
Because,
you know, without them, there is no station. And those folks are as committed to a thing for which they don't get paid as you and I and Eric and others before us were committed to a thing for which we did get paid.
Right.
And it's so inspiring to watch year after year these people who give of their free time to keep jazz on the air. And then, of course, the members who give out of their wallets to make sure there's a station for them to do that at. So, yeah, it's a beautiful project. I'm honored to be any part of it at all. And I applaud everyone who's kept it going all these years.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for taking the time again to be a part of the podcast series in our five decades. If you're ever in town again, hopefully you'll swing by and see what we've done with the place.
Well, I'm so moved that you asked me. I really appreciate it. And here's to when you and I are in our late 90s doing this again for the 100th anniversary.
All right. Thank you again. Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating five decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.